2015 Christmas program this evening. And we certainly are excited about what the Lord's going to bring to our attention and our hearts tonight. In your hymnal, let's stand and sing together, Joy to the World, page 137 in your hymnal and on our monitors tonight, Joy to the World. Let's stand and sing it together this evening.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature.
On the second now,
joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sound.
On the third now,
no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, far as the curse is.
On the fourth now,
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love.
Good singing tonight. Remain standing, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brandon. Good evening. Good to see all of you here. We're excited to see our Christmas program tonight. All of the young people have worked hard, and all the adults have worked hard, and I know you've worked hard getting them here. And so we're excited. I tell you, it's always just a joyous time of the year to see the kids participate in the Christmas program. And it'll have a message. So as cute as they are, and see all the little animals running around here, I want you to make sure you pay attention to the message, because it's more than just having the kids up here and in the program. We want to make sure that we always talk about the message of Jesus Christ. And so we're excited. I appreciate all the hard work by Brother Jimmy and Miss Sheila. And he's not here tonight. He had knee surgery this week. And I believe maybe he just laid out so Miss Sheila could do all the work. But we appreciate all of the hard work that's gone into this. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And after we pray, I'm going to get out of the way and we're going to turn it right over to the kids. And I know they'll bless your heart. So let's pray together. And after we pray, you be seated. And we will turn it right over to the young people. Okay, so let's pray together. Father, as we come to you, we're so thankful there is joy and joy in Jesus Christ. And I pray this evening that every heart would be filled with the love of Christ, that we'd see the miraculous gift that was given 2,000 years ago. I thank you for these young people and their willingness to participate in the program tonight, all the hard work that's gone into it. But if you're not glorified, it's all in vain. And so we pray tonight that you'd silence our hearts and our minds for the next little bit, that we could be attentive to the message, and that, Father, you'd get glory. And I just pray for the message tonight, Lord, that it would not fall on deaf ears, that it would fall on good ground, and that lives would be changed. And maybe someone here that does not know Christ as Savior could be saved tonight before it's eternally too late. And, Lord, again, we thank you for all your many blessings. Help us to recognize them. Let us be thankful for what you do for us, and most of all, who you are. So we just pray that you take control of the service tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not, to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Most children think of Christmas, and they think of all the presents and all the lights, the parties that this time of year brings. We've had the privilege of working all year with a great group of kids in Joy Church, and our desire has been to help teach them to love God, to love their church, and to know the true meaning of Christmas. The world teaches our children that they came from nothing, they will go back to nothing. This makes them feel like they are nothing and will always be nothing. Society teaches our children that they came from monkeys and locks them up when they act like monkeys. The only hope for our kids today is to teach them and to tell them, you were made in the image of God, you were made for God's glory, and you have a purpose in God's kingdom. It is not all about what you receive at Christmas or in this life, but it is all about the who of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 54:13. And all the children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Tonight's program, Just a Little Christmas, is presented from a child's perspective. Please listen closely as they tell you of the blessed Savior's birth.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
A long time ago, in the city of Nazareth, there was a woman named Mary. Mary was promised to marry a man named Joseph, who lived there too.
One day, an angel from God came and talked to Mary. He told Mary she was going to have a baby.
Mary, you're going to have a baby, and he will be the Son of God.
I belong to God. Let his word be done.
And then the angel left. Now, Joseph wasn't sure what to do when he heard that Mary was going to have a baby. So one night, while he was asleep, the angel came to talk to Joseph, too.
Joseph, Mary's going to have a baby from God. It's okay for you to marry her and take care of her and the baby. You will name the baby Jesus.
And that's just what he did.
A while later, the emperor in Rome, Caesar Augustus, said that everyone had to go to their own hometown to be counted.
Everyone, go to your own hometown so that it can count you.
So Mary and Joseph went to the town of Bethlehem to be counted, because Joseph was of the house and line of David, and Bethlehem was known as the city of David.
There were lots of other people there, too. There were so many people, in fact, that there was no room for them in the inn. So Mary and Joseph stayed in the stable, which was a place for the animals to stay warm and dry. There was a cow there. There was a sheep there. There was a donkey there. And Mary and Joseph stayed there too.
What did the cow at the manger say? The baby Jesus in the hay. Moo, 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 moo. Baby Jesus, we love you. What did the sheep at the manger say? The baby Jesus.
While they were there, baby Jesus was born, and Mary took him and wrapped him up warm and laid him in the manger.
That night, there were some shepherds out in the fields watching over their flocks of sheep. And the angel came and talked to the shepherds, and they were terribly afraid.
Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. The Savior, which is Christ the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.
All of a sudden, there were lots of angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men." And then the angels left.
And when the angels had left, the shepherds went and found the baby Jesus in the manger, just as they had been told. And when they found him, they worshipped him. Not far away, in a place called Jerusalem, there lived an evil king named Herod. One day, after baby Jesus had been born, wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the newly born king of the Jews.
They asked King Herod where he was.
"Where is the king of the Jews?"
So the king asked his advisors,
"Where is the king of the Jews to be born?"
"In Bethlehem."
"In Bethlehem. Go and find him and let me know where he is so I can come and worship him too."
So the wise men went and found baby Jesus by following the star. And when they found him, they worshipped him.
But King Herod didn't really want to worship baby Jesus. He wanted to kill him. The wise men were warned by God about this, so they went home another way. When the king found out he was tricked, he was really mad.
"They tricked me. I am really mad."
He was determined to destroy this newborn king. So King Herod sent his soldiers to Bethlehem to find the baby Jesus.
"Go and find him and destroy him."
But God warned Joseph in a dream to get out of Bethlehem.
"Get out of there."
And so they did.
And so Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus went to Egypt, and they stayed there until the evil King Herod died. After King Herod died, God told Joseph it was safe to come back because the people who wanted the child dead had now died.
"Hey, you can come back now. It's safe."
Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus came back from Egypt, and they went to live in the town of Nazareth again. And that's where baby Jesus grew up until he was grown. And so now you've heard it all about how God sent his only begotten Son to be born as a baby so that later he could save us from our sins. And all it took was
just a little Christmas. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story that's precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sing as they welcome his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was
heard. Good job, guys. Amen. Well, I appreciate that, don't you? A lot of times we don't think about how children see things. And I like that. Get out. Amen. Sometimes you've got to be direct with people. And maybe we need to do that when we're preaching. Get saved. And, you know, close out with that. And people understand that. And, you know, it's an exciting time of the year. It always is. Everybody enjoys Christmas, I think. I read something today where, you know, that people that have lost loved ones this time of the year have a hard time with it. They do. I understand that. But what a great time to celebrate the love of God, that God would love mankind enough to send his Son to be born just like he said he would, to live and to die for the sins of many. And I was looking in Scripture in Romans chapter number 5. I want to just share a thought with you tonight, and along those same lines, the gift. You know, we understand the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive, and we oftentimes miss the blessing of giving. And even when we give, oftentimes we think of material things. And Brother Brandon and Miss Julie sang a great song this morning about the gift of salvation, and we miss that. But the Bible said, in Romans chapter 5, beginning verse number 8, the Bible said, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Verse 12 says this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Verse 15 says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. You go down to verse 18, the Bible said, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men, the condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, I was thinking about this thought, the gift. It didn't say a gift, it said the gift. And so I understand if it says a gift, there's more than one, but Jesus said it this way. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so I understand that as we look at this, the gift of Jesus is not simply that we have a babe born in a manger. It's not simply that we have a church to go to. It's not simply that we have a time of the year to celebrate that birth. There's more wrapped in the gift. And we understand by Scripture, Romans chapter 5 is a great scripture when it talks about salvation, about the unrighteousness of man. And Brother Mark, I noticed this today when I was reading. I've never seen it before. But the Bible said here that it's not that men are sinners because they sinned. It's because we sin because we're sinners. That's what the Scripture teaches. Even those who haven't sinned. Children are born into sin. They're born because of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. They're born as sinners. And so you and I need a Savior. We need someone who is righteous and holy, who is perfect, because no sin will ever enter into heaven. And so we see people today that walk around and say, well, I'm not perfect. Well, you know, if you're saved, technically you are. In God's sight, you're perfect, not by your deeds and not by your actions, but because of the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ, because He was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half years. He died on an old rugged cross for your sins and mine. And now in the sight of God, we are perfect through His righteousness. And that's really what this Scripture is talking about. And I started thinking this thought. You ever thought what it is that God's saying here? He's talking about a couple things. One is the garbage. And we exchange it for the gift, which makes us grateful. I thought about this as I was studying. I thought, you know, all of us probably know what this is. It's a garbage bag, and it's got garbage. It's got trash in it. And I know what's in this bag because I put it there. And you at home, you understand that what you put in your trash can is what you discarded, what you don't want anymore. It's nothing valuable. It's nothing precious. It's stuff that really doesn't matter. It's trash. And that's really what the Scripture says our life is before we know Jesus Christ. It's trash. And you say, but preacher, how can you say that? Because I know what my life was before Christ. And you know what your life... See, everything that's put in this trash bag is there because I put it there. And in other words, I had the experience of it. Whether it's food, whether it's paper, whatever it is, I put it here and I know all about it. And see, that's the way sin is. You understand the experience of sin. You know the consequence of it. You may not know as far as eternity what sin's all about, but if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you understand that there is a consequence for sin. If you drink alcohol, there's a good chance you're going to get cirrhosis of the liver. If you do other things, there's consequences for it. And so you understand that. You learn that by experience. And so the Bible really teaches us here that because of one man's sin, that we all have garbage. We all have garbage in your life. Whether you're in church, whether you're not in church, whether you're a good person, whether you're a bad person, whether you're wealthy or poor, it doesn't really matter. We're all the same. We're garbage. Our lives are filled with garbage. You know, just next week, New Year's Eve will be one of the biggest days of drinking and debauchery all year long. And people wake up, Brother Wesley, the next day, and they'll have hangovers, they'll feel bad, and they'll say, well, this is a new year, I'm going to start off the new year right. Why not end the old year right? See, the greatest thing you can do is exchange the garbage for the gift. All of this is what I have accumulated. It's what I've worked for. If it's food that we've discarded, we probably cooked it, we ate it, and what was left over we put in this bag. Now don't get grossed out, I didn't put food in there. But some of it may be bills that I've looked at and, and bills that I have to pay, and I throw the envelope away. What I'm saying is just not valuable. And so we discard it, and that's the way it is with our lives. It's full of sin. It's full of pain. The Bible said here that because of one man's sin, death entered into the world. You and I are, if you're not a Christian, you're on a track. The Bible said you're condemned already. You're not going to die and go to hell. You're as good as there. And I dare say probably there's no one in here, if they'd be honest, would say, you know what, I'd rather have the bag of trash than I would to have the gift. But if that's a decision many are making. Instead of the gift, Jesus Christ, and all the benefits that go with knowing Him, they're choosing this. I think I'll take my life, my bag of trash, and I'll just do the best we can. You know what? You can take the paper out that's been ripped up, and you can tape it back together. You can take all the things in here and try to form some kind of similitude of what it used to be. But even if you tape all the pieces together, there'll be something you leave out. There'll be a gap there. There'll be a void. See, I'm afraid that's where a lot of people are getting. They're using this humanistic idea of their life and saying, well, I'll do better. You can't do better. And I'm not trying to be cruel, but this is what our life is without Christ. It's garbage. And it never gets any better. You know what you can do? You can go to the landfill and you can take your can of air freshener and you can spray it, the whole can. But it's still going to smell like garbage. It's still going to be a garbage dump. You can go in there and paint the walls and you can paint all the trash, but you know what it is? It's still garbage. Without Jesus Christ, that's what your life is. But I want to offer you some hope today. Because the Bible said, wherefore in verse 12, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death so passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. See, there's nobody excluded from this life of garbage. And if we stop there, that'd be pretty awful. But the Scripture goes on to say this. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. The free gift. And the kids tonight showed you the free gift. They gave you in just a few minutes what the plan of salvation is all about. They helped you understand that God loved us so much that He sent His Son, not someone else, not a prophet. He sent the only one that could be the gift. The only one that could satisfy the holiness and the righteousness of God. And when you choose this over this, imagine in just a few days when you open up gifts and here's a beautiful box. You'd never tell somebody, I think I'll go in the kitchen and pull the garbage can out of from under the sink, and I think I'll choose the garbage over the gift. See, the interesting thing about this gift is it's packaged, and really you don't know what's in it. You see the wrapping. You know there's something there, but you don't really know what it is. And that's kind of the way it is with salvation, Brother Jamie. We know that Jesus Christ is the gift, and we may understand what some of the benefits of being saved is all about, but we really don't know until we experience it. And see, what's wrapped in here is who Jesus is. You say, well, preacher, that's great, but what's all that mean? Well, let me tell you what He offers. He offers mercy. I mean, in the fact, the Bible talks about the grace of God here. The gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. You know what? There is no other way. There's not religions that send you to heaven. There's a man that sends you to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. You say, well, do you not agree that maybe we're wrong? You may be, but I'm not wrong because I'm believing in the One. And so the Bible says the gift, not a gift, but the gift. And in that gift is the grace of God, His unmerited favor. And through that unmerited favor, what He offers you and extends to you is mercy. The fact that you do not deserve Him, that you do not deserve heaven, that you do not deserve the contents of the gift, but He's still willing to give it because of His grace. He extends that mercy to us. He also extends justification to us. And I mentioned it the other night. Justification is so much better than forgiveness. I'm glad God forgives us. That's wonderful. But you know what justification means? It means your record's clear. And so this evening, if you accept Christ as your Savior in the high court of heaven, it's not that just that God has forgiven you, because if He just forgave you, it may still appear on the record that your sin is there. But when He justified you, He erased that through the blood of Jesus Christ. And today you stand before a thrice holy God, justified, clean, as if you've never sinned. And may I say tonight that I'd rather have this and the justification and the mercy than I would the garbage that comes with it. There may be some pleasure there for a while, but you know what? For eternity, I've got mercy and I've got justification, but also contained in this gift, the Bible says here, is righteousness. You know what people hate to be is wrong. I don't care who you are. You say, well, I don't mind being wrong. Hey, listen, nobody wants to be wrong. But do you realize that you can have all the answers? You can be a good person. You can be the best person any of us know and still not be right. See, it's not as important to be right with man as it is to be right with God. And the only person who is truly right with God is Jesus Christ, the gift. And through that gift that He extends to us, He makes you right with God. He makes you righteous, right standing with God. Do you realize without the blood of Christ, you can't pray? Without what He did on Calvary's cross, you have no privilege and no access to the Holy of Holies. So if it weren't for Jesus Christ, you and I would have no access to a holy God. But because of the gift, we have mercy, and we have justification, and we have righteousness. We're in right standing with God. But there's something else He gives us. And this isn't popular today, and people don't want to hear it. But He gives us His holiness. And I'm not here to offend you. I'm not here to make you mad. If you're a guest with us, we're thankful you're here. But I am here to tell you the truth. God is holy, and He expects holiness out of us. And you can't do enough in your flesh to be completely holy with God. See, what you do and the way you act is an outpouring of what's inside of you. And so today, society, even churches, Brother Brandon and I, today will tell you God doesn't care, that He's full of forgiveness and mercy, and He doesn't care, and God's grace means you can do whatever you want to do, and God's okay with it. May I say, above His mercy and above His grace and above His forgiveness, He's holy. There was only one person that could satisfy a holy God. His name's Jesus Christ. There's only one person that could stand up to all that hell had to offer. And that was Jesus Christ. My friend, no matter what some preacher says, no matter what a denomination says, a religion or some church says, you cannot live any way you want to if you're a Christian. You're under the authority of a holy God. And because He's holy, we're holy in the sight of God. But in that holiness, He wants us to live holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. If you love me, keep my commandments. He offers that holiness to us in the gift of Jesus Christ. May I say there's no other way? Why would you trade this for this? Brother Mark, you know what happens though sometimes is we get used to this. We stop appreciating this. You know, the sad reality of Christmas is it's so commercialized now that kids don't understand some of the old songs, you know. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. They don't know what chestnut is. They sure don't want to eat it for Christmas. Some of you that are a little bit older, you understand what it was to get just a small gift. Maybe it didn't cost anything, but it was made by someone. Now people get stuff all year long, so when you get to the Christmas time and you want to dazzle the kids, you got to spend about $19 million to get them anything or they're not impressed. You know why? Because we've grown accustomed to good gifts. We get toys and we get clothes and we get iPods and iPhones and everything else that money can buy all year long. And so when we get a gift, and it may not be a huge monetary gift, sometimes we look at it and go, that's nice, I guess. Christians, I'm afraid what's happened is we've gotten so used to the benefits of knowing Christ, all that's contained in the gift, we stop having gratitude. Brother Barry, you know what makes us not want to give good gifts? Is when people take them for granted. When they stop being thankful. Because you need to realize it may be a small gift to you, but it costs somebody something to give you what they gave you. And you may look and say, "Preacher, I know all this and I'm thankful and I understand all about the gifts and I understand about righteousness and justification and mercy and holiness and all that's great, but I got saved 20 years ago and boy, it's just, I understand." You know what happened? You might have just stopped being grateful for the gift. You might have just forgot about the one who shed his blood so that you could have all the benefits of the gift. I'm afraid we live in a society, even in our churches, where we stop being grateful. And because of that, we want more. Friend, if you're a Christian today, Jesus Christ is all you need. You can't do better than that. My question to you tonight, in closing, is this. First of all, will you choose the gift or the garbage? Well, some of you here tonight, you say, "Well, preacher, I'm not a Christian." Then you're choosing this. You're choosing the garbage instead of the gift. But may I bring good news to you? All you got to do is turn away from the garbage and turn towards the gift. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's free and it's available to whosoever will. But you have to receive it. I can have $1 million in this box and lay it right here and say it's available to whosoever will come. But unless you come get it, you can't receive it. And so tonight you have to receive the gift. The gift of Jesus Christ. It's not religion, by the way. It's not baptism. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's Jesus. He's the only way. But then you may be here and you said, "Preacher, I've accepted the gift. I've received the gift." Well, here's what I want you to do. When's the last time you said thank you? When's the last time you just went to God and said, "I want to thank you"? Not for the temporal blessings. Harley, not for the house we live in and the shoes on our feet. Not for the food we eat. But when's the last time you've gone to God and said, "I want to thank you for the righteousness. And I want to thank you for justification. And I want to thank you for mercy. And I want to thank you for the gift. Because I'm unworthy of it." What the kids showed you tonight was the birth of Christ. the gift of God, that God loved you enough that He gave. That's what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave. But you only get the gift if you receive it. It only is going to benefit you if you go out and get it. And it's available. I want you to stand with me tonight. Our musicians are going to come. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. No one's looking around. As people are making their way to the altar, I want to ask you, by you just slipping your hand up tonight, if you're not sure that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. No one's going to come to you. No one's going to embarrass you. But I'd like to pray for you right now in this moment. You slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven tonight if I died. Nobody's going to come to you. I'll just pray for you. Is there one? You just slip it up, put it right back down. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not 100% sure if I died tonight I'd go to heaven. I want you to pray for me. Is there one? Is there one? Well, by your testimony, every person in here has received the gift. But maybe you've grown cold. Maybe you've grown unappreciative. Tonight you're here because somebody cared enough to invite you. You're thankful when God puts some money in the bank for you. You're thankful when He heals Grandma from cancer. When's the last time you just got on your knees and said thank you for the gift? Thank you for the righteousness. Thank you for the holiness. Thank you for taking my place on the cross. Many are on the altar. Maybe you'll come tonight. You just want to say thank you. You want to show God you're grateful for what He's done for you. Will you come? Will you come? People are still coming. He paid it all for you. Come on. You mind God tonight.
Jesus paid it all. To Him I owe.
God's been real good to me.